How's it going in your marriage? Dr. Randy here. Got some help for you. A lot of encouragement and some straight talk about what does it mean to have an intentional marriage in such an unintentional, painful, difficult world in which we live today. Got some hope for you and some help. Very practical things as we listen to some of the questions that have come in to me through our storyline that we're going to get to, plus those who are calling as we continue the discussion from yesterday on marriage, God's intention for marriage. Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer, Stephen, the rest of the team. And again, you can leave your story or question at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717 is the number. And we're going to get started with our first question with Denise. What's your question for me today, Denise?
Hi, my name's Denise. I'm 56 years old, and my question is, I've been with the same man since I was 18 years old. We've been married for 34 years, and we have three daughters. Our marriage really kind of took a turn. We grew apart when our first two were in high school, and we didn't have any other planned pregnancies, and I was told I couldn't get pregnant, but then at 40, I did. And that baby brought us together a little bit, but we still are at a point in our marriage right now, with our youngest being 15, where we sleep in separate bedrooms, we watch TV in separate rooms, we don't have anything to talk about, we don't have anything in common, and at this point, I feel so, so lonely. What do you do with that? I'm a Christian. I believe in my wedding vows. I've not wanted to stray from my marriage, but I'm going to be 60, and I'm just so lonely, and I don't know what to do with that.
Very honest, Denise. Thank you for that vulnerability to call and ask that question. And I had a picture in my mind as you were talking, Denise, that you're kind of at a crossroads, and we might call it the intersection of vulnerability and disaster in your marriage, right? And what you choose to do now is going to be critical. Understanding that loneliness is a symptom of a disease process in a relationship. There are people who are alone but don't feel lonely. And there are people who are married who feel lonely. So it's not always having to have another person seated next to you watching something on TV or sitting in the car. You can have that person right there and still be lonely. So loneliness is a symptom of something deeper that's going on in a relationship. And what we tend to do with symptoms that we don't like is we medicate them. And we can medicate them with alcohol, or drugs, sex, entertainment, you name it. We tend to kill pain in our culture by using things to try to kill the pain. But you know, the pain comes back as soon as the whatever we're using goes away. And so I heard you talk about three kids and then a later term pregnancy and that you were drawn together because of that. But you made a really powerful statement, Denise. You said, we have nothing to talk about. And if in our marriage, no matter if you've been married 5 years or 50 years, if you have, quote, nothing to talk about, loneliness will follow. You should always have something to talk about. Talk about the grandkids. Talk about a vision that we have, a dream that we have, a problem we want to solve, a goal we want to pursue, encouraging each other to seek new education or new things you can learn or hobbies or something we can do together. But when we get to the place we have nothing to talk about, what do we tend to do? We get up and walk out of the room and we'll find somebody else to talk to, which can lead to the problem that you're concerned about for yourself. So here's what I recommend. Here's what I suggest for you, Denise. Number one, you got to be proactive. You're stuck. There's inertia. Be proactive. Go to your husband. Don't blame him. Just sit down. Say, hey, honey, I love you. We've had a lot going on in our lives, and it's just like we've kind of grown apart. And I don't like that feeling. I don't like it for me. I don't like it for you. We can do better. And then secondly, to have realistic expectations. Your husband's not always going to make you happy or fill your needs in your life. And then you got to take care of yourself. In other words, you got to find some things in your life to keep you from going down that wrong path at this point of vulnerability in your life. My hope for you and your spouse would be you'd find some things in common that you could do together. My wife and I have been married a lot of years, but we find things, if it's going on a vacation or if it's even talking about the grandkids, that's one of the fun things we have. We can't do anything about grandkids, but we love talking about them because we love them, right? And so finding things that we can talk about, things we have in common, doing some things can be transformational in a marriage. So I hope that helps. Thank you, Denise. All right. Another question. Let me see here. Coming in from Michigan. Go right ahead. What's your question?
Hi. My name is Debbie, and I'm calling because my husband and I just don't seem to communicate anymore. And when I try to talk to him, he just ignores me or walks away or just has a blank stare on his face and is like talking to a brick wall. He talks to other people, but he just doesn't seem interested in what I have to say. And I just don't know what to do about this. Hmm. And if you have any suggestions, I would really appreciate it. Thanks. Hmm. Bye.
Thank you, Debbie. And you're not alone. That's an issue we hear a lot of. And one of the researchers in marriage is John Gottman from Washington State. And he talked about the big four things that are predictors of real problem in marriage when it comes to communication, criticism, defensiveness. But number three is stonewalling. And what stonewalling means is I'm going to fold my arms and I'm just not going to talk to you. I'm going to keep you at arm's length. You know, I'm not going to listen to you. And let's be honest, that is terribly disrespectful in marriage and destructive. When I think of Jesus, Jesus was a master at communicating. Now, hopefully this will help, Debbie. Jesus was a master at communicating in the language of the person that was right in front of him. When he talked to the rich young ruler, he talked about money. He talked about stuff because he knew that was the big deal in his life. When he talked to Peter, he talked about come and be fisher of men because he was a fisherman. So when he talked in his language, Peter got it. When Jesus talked to the woman at the well, he said, I can give you living water. In other words, Jesus was a master at communicating in the language in a way that the person he was talking to understood. And so I just simply would ask and maybe encourage you, what is it that your husband is interested in? What are the topics, the areas that you could connect with him around things that he's interested in? Yeah, but he doesn't communicate with me about the stuff I'm interested in. Yeah, that's probably true. And hopefully he'll grow up and get out of that. But the fact is, if you want to connect with your husband, get into his world. Find out what's interesting him. This is true with your teenagers. You want to connect with your teenagers? Get into their heads as much as you can, even though I know it's a very scary place to go. But to try to listen to them, get into their world, understand what's important to them. Whenever we show that kind of interest in another person, it takes us to a whole nother level when it comes to communication. Okay. Teresa is in New York. Hi, Teresa. How are you? Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
My question is, my soon-to-be husband is on hard drugs. He will not give them up. And he's into other women because other women came and said that, I can't wait to be with him. I said, would you...
And you're supposed to get married?
Yeah. Which I'm having this feeling where I'm not going to.
All right. We're having the phone issue. I think we got the picture, Teresa. Listen. We talked yesterday on the show about inklings. You know, when you have that inkling feeling, don't ignore it. This is kind of like a giant red light with a blaring siren to say, wait a minute, before I take one more step in toward a permanency of marriage, we got some things got to be worked out here. And if what you're saying is true, I mean, he's not interested in you and he's on drugs and he's interested in other women, where do you fit into that whole picture, right? I've always said when a person has an addiction like that, that's like a mistress in many ways. That's another thing that interferes with the relationship. And so Not even hearing your question, I think you answered it yourself. I really do. And probably just needed some confirmation. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. And we're thinking here during that spot, we're talking about defining moments. That's a teaching that we're featuring. And Stephen reminded me that Teresa's at a defining moment in her life, making a decision. And I would say to you, Teresa, and others that maybe are at a point where you got a defining moment in your life, the best predictor of future behavior of another person is their current or past behavior. And so this lesson this month on defining moments is just intended to encourage you and help you see that you can deal with defining moments in your life in a positive way that brings glory to God and benefit to you and your family. And so I hope you'll listen to it, share it with your friends. How do I get to it, you ask? It's up on our site for our members, our member site. And so when you join us in this mission together, your monthly support will make sure you get the link to get to all of the teaching up there. Just call us during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com, and you can click on donate. And boy, we appreciate your support. Okay, back to some of the questions that have come in for me. Here's one that came in from Nebraska, and let's take a listen.
Hi, this is Colin in the middle of Nebraska, 25 miles from the center of the United States. How to be more intentional, a believer and a non-believer being together. Your wife says that the kids, they're young, they should be able to make a decision. And the believer saying they're not old enough to make a decision, they need to go to church. You know, that's just like my deal. When I met her, she said she believed in God and she had gone to church, and I was in love with her. I was, and we really didn't talk a lot about it. But what does a believer do more intentionally to get along? Because it can fade, and it seems to be doing that, and I need to hear something about that.
All right, Colin, you got a bunch of stuff going on there, but I'm going to focus on the kids for a moment. And I've heard this over the years. People say, oh, no, don't let your kids make their own decision about God and about religion. And that is pure, that is pure ignorance. If you have kids, what do you talk to them about? You talk to them about sex. Talk to them about drugs. You talk to them about stranger danger. You talk to them about not stepping out in traffic. You talk to them about being a good student. Foods they should eat, shouldn't eat. If left to their own devices, we would create little monsters. And that's our job. The Bible says we're to train up a child in the way they should go. This is a really big deal. And I say to every parent today, if you're in that kind of mixed marriage where your spouse is saying, oh, no, just leave it up to them when they grow up, they can make their own decision. We don't want to expose them to anything. We don't want to tell them what's important to us or what the Bible teaches. Listen, I don't see the logic in that at all. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, if you cause one of these little children who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. That's pretty strong stuff. Now, Jesus isn't saying go do that. I mean, I'm not suggesting you do that. But he's saying for the person who is keeping a child away from the truth and allowing them to just live their own lives or lead them into sin in some way, you're going to pay for it sometime. You're going to pay for it earthly, and you're going to pay for it spiritually. And so here's what I would say to you, Colin, my one thing. Respect your wife. Don't fight with her. You don't have to criticize her. You don't have to preach to her. But listen, at the end of the day, you're dad, and you better be telling those kids the truth. In your home, if you go to church, WANA program, whatever it is, but to be proactive in making sure before those kids get too far along in years that they know what it means, that Jesus died on the cross for them, Jesus loves them, that they have a hope for eternity, and they have an opportunity to understand the truth. Because I'm going to tell you something. Whoever is most intentional in the child's life is going to win the streets of your city. What goes on online from TikTok on is going to be more influence in the life of your kid than you are. To me, that just doesn't make any sense. You're the parent. Tell them the truth. Do it in love. We've been instructed to do that. Love your wife. Respect your wife. But also, more important than anything, is to tell the truth to your kids. All right. We're talking marriage today. Let's go. Let me see. Going next to Arizona with another question. Go right ahead.
Hi, Randy. My name's Brittany. My husband and I have been married for about a year. We just had a baby 3 months ago, and I think I just wanted to ask, how is a good way when we go through the stresses and, you know, we're newlyweds and we have a new child and just trying to live every day, you know, without getting too stressed or taking it on each other? Because, you know, when you're with somebody every day and you feel comfortable with them, you kind of tend to, I think, take stress out sometimes a little bit more on the ones that you love. So I just didn't know if maybe there is other effective ways. We read our scriptures and we pray daily, but maybe just some other ways to, you know, not let the stress take us, you know, into a fight or, you know, to where we don't take our stress out on each other and we can be more supportive. Bye.
Thank you, Brittany. She left that on her storyline, comment line. And then she sounded like a sweetheart, just a, you know, gentle wife, wants to do the right thing, loves her husband, but getting stressed out. But she also, underneath, I think she's frustrated, right? And sometimes we can get a little passive aggressive when that happens. A couple of things, Brittany. You're young. You're right in the middle of the stress point, I think, high stress point in marriage. And I would tell young couples, when you have that stress point with the kids, which is the most stressful years of your life, you got to learn to take a break together and a break apart. What I mean by that is there are times you have to do some things together. Have that date, get out, enjoy, you know, do something fun. It doesn't have to cost a lot, but just do something together. And get grandma to watch the kids or grandpa to watch the kids. They have nothing else to do, you know, get them involved. We've tried over the years to play that role. And then also to break apart. What I mean by that is have some interest for yourself. I think what happens so often, we get married, and this happens, I think, for women even more so than men. You get married, you had interest, things in your life that you wanted to pursue, and then you have kids, and then pretty soon you wake up and you find out, hey, my interests are gone. And so to the extent that you can, develop those interests. If it's hobbies or Bible study or things that help you, that's important. Secondly, I would say, Brittany, for you is to have at least one shared goal to work on together. I've seen over the years that couples that have something they're working on together, I don't know what it is, it's remodeling something or if it's fixing something or if it's working to the future to save or do mission ministry together in church, whatever it is, but have something that you do together as a goal. And then number three, I think in marriage we need a workout room. I don't mean for physical, I mean to work out problems. You've got to have a room that you can sit down and just lay on the table. Maybe it's once a week. You clear the deck, get whatever issues out so you can get it fixed. And these are things I've seen over years, Brittany. And I think if you do these things now in your marriage, it's going to make a big difference. Okay? I'll be right back. The second thing at your defining moment is ask better questions. Now, I want to linger here for just a moment, because this thing of asking questions, I think, is a more profound statement than we recognize on the surface. When you sense, and when I sense at a defining moment in our life that something is happening, this is the time to start asking really good questions. Questions like, God, what are you saying to me? What am I to get from this? What would you have me do? What am I to learn from this? How did we get into this mess? What one thing did I violate in Scripture that maybe caused this to happen? How is this going to affect other people? Because I'm promising every one of us in this room will have a defining moment. Yeah, you will, and I will, and we have, and when they come, how we deal with them, how we look at them, it can either be a learning point, it could be a change in direction point, but how we deal with defining moments, boy, that's critical. You want to learn more about defining moments? It's the featured lesson this month from Intentional Living. It's up on our site for members. You're welcome to join in, be a part of it. Come and be a part of Intentional Living. Your support makes a difference. Just go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, theintentionallife.com, or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717.
Hello, I would like to ask Dr. Carlson his views and opinions on married couples having separate bank accounts in order that each person has their own spending without being accountable to their spouse. Thank you.
I was going with you until you threw in that last statement about so we can have our own thing without accountability to the others. That's just bad news. And to my view, I think it's really dumb in marriage to take an attitude over something this big as money to say, I'm not accountable to you. I'll do what I want. That's just another symptom of the disease of a marriage that has something going on that's going to be destructive down the road. So to answer your question, I have no problem with separate bank accounts as long as you all agree on how all of it's going to be used. That's fine. You know, you have your bank, I have my bank account, and I'll do this and you do that, but we're getting together and talking about it. It's not yours and mine, it's ours. How you manage it, I mean, to me, that's not a big deal. As big a deal as it is, making sure that you do manage it together, I think that's critical. All right, back to some of the questions that have been coming in here from all over the country. Let's go next to Pennsylvania.
Hi, my name is Christina. I was calling in about expectations, especially with marriages. My husband went and cheated on me outside of our marriage, and now he's wanting us to repair it and go back like nothing really happened, even though that's not capable. My expectations of marriage and being in a one-on-one relationship with my husband has been utterly shattered. We also have a 2-year-old son together. I told him before we even had him that I did not want to be raising him in a broken home. But then he went and cheated after we had our son, and it's just completely broken. And I would like some help with expectations and getting through this.
Mm. Well, Christine, I appreciate you leaving that on our storyline. I wish I could talk to you a little bit and ask some questions. What I hear is a conflict in your mind. On one hand, I told him that this would be the worst thing you could ever do to me, and then he went and did it. And I can't forgive him for it. And then on the other hand, I hear you saying, I told him that I'd never wanted to get divorced. I never wanted to have a broken home. And so what I hear you saying is this guy that I gave my life to, my vulnerability to, put me in this difficult box, and I'm not happy for it. In fact, I'm really angry about it. And I think you got to just be honest with how angry you are, Christina. because that's exactly what happened. You got put in a box, and the unintended consequences of your husband, in this case, come down upon you. And now he's saying, hey, let's just move on. That's just life. And that is a dumb thing, guys, because she's sitting here in this pool, locked in this box, and she's got to make some decisions. The formula we use at Intentional Living is an expectation minus reality always equals disappointment. Disappointment can lead to disillusionment and to destruction in life. And you have reason to be disappointed. It was a reasonable expectation that your husband would stay faithful to you. That's a reasonable expectation. And when he violated that, not only did he create disappointment, but he created some destruction in your relationship. And what I hear you saying to me is, it's like Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and all the king's men and horses couldn't put him back together again. And I think you even used the word, it got shattered, like everything got broken. I have no idea how to put this back together. And here's a fact, Christina, because I encourage you to work on it if your husband's serious about this. I really do. You're going to have scars. Whenever we put broken things back together, they may be stronger than ever because of the glue that's used, but there's always that scar, and that's the imperfection of life. So, three things as I wrap up here. Number one, you got to deal with the truth, both your husband and you. This is where we are. Didn't want to be here, but we're facing this. The only way this marriage is going to work, Christina, is if you and your husband agree we need a new start. No hiding what happened. No, let's move on. All of that kind of stuff is going to come back and bite you down the road. And there needs to be accountability on your husband's part. There's got to be forgiveness. There's got to be reconciliation. There's got to be understanding of why that happened. And then there's got to be an opportunity for some time. I would encourage you, Christina, not to overreact, or what I should say, don't act too quickly. All right? Because when we're feeling something, it's easy for us to act and react, and in the process, we make things even worse. Get some support for yourself. Get some other women around you. Get some counseling. Take some time and see what God will do in this marriage. Come on. We make commitments to each other. Let's keep them. And when we can't, let's be honest to deal with it, okay? I'm Dr. Randy. Got to run. I hope it's been helpful for you. If you got a question for me, you want to leave, or comment, or disagreement, whatever, you can share it on our storyline at 888-888-1717. I hope you have a great weekend. I'll see you again next week with more Intentional Living right here from our center, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.